We are delighted that this week's episode is sponsored by The Animal Guys, who tour the UK and Europe educating audiences about all creatures, great and small.
Having just completed a sellout theatre tour, what makes The Animal Guys different is they've developed an entire show that involves no live animals.
They truly believe in learning through laughter and educating families today so that we can save the animals of tomorrow.
To find out more and for tickets to their tour, just Google The Animal Guys.
Procrastination is so easy. You can always find a reason to put something off or just give yourself another 10 minutes. The worst thing about procrastination is it's just so easy to do. There's so much around with your phone or whatever it is. You can always find something else to do just to put it off a little bit longer.
I think actually spelling the word is harder than actually doing it, procrastinating. It's so easy to do. And I think that we can all default to procrastinating. And I think that that's probably, procrastination is like the thief of so many opportunities, happy memories, having achieved things, because it does steal things from us. But we're all...
Totally. It's always easy to do nothing and to say no.
Yeah.
Always.
Or to put things off. And I think what we invariably do is we always, and this is human nature, but when we procrastinate, what we will always do is we will default to the easiest tasks first.
Yeah.
So we get all those out of the way and then we think, oh, yeah, I've done all them now, so I'll stop. So the thing that you're procrastinating about, you actually put off yet to another day.
Yeah, totally. And I think that the reason why we do this, I mean, the absolute bottom line of why we do this is the fact that we obviously don't want to do things that don't make us feel good. And like Hunter said, there's so many options of things that we can do that will make us feel good. So in the most simplest terms, why would we want to choose something that we don't want to do when we could do something better? Mm. And, you know, the more and more, like Hunter was sort of saying there, that, you know, we're in a world where there's so many things that we can occupy ourselves with that are so much, you know, so much more interesting. And, you know, there's really interesting science research that shows we are so bad at predicting future feelings and how we'll feel about something in the future. It's the reason why, you know, for example, we sort of shoot ourselves in the foot when it comes to relationships, for example. We think, you know I should break up with that person, but, you know, right now this feels better. I know in the future it'll be, you know, worse, but right now it feels better, or whatever it might be, right? We stay in situations because we don't want to, you know, we want to sort of postpone the heartbreak, for example. Mm. And it's because we don't realize how bad it'll feel in the future. And this is the same thing, that we don't really consider how it's going to feel in the future if we leave this thing to the last minute. We're going to be so stressed and it's going to feel awful. And instead we prioritize our current feelings, which is, I'd rather not do that. I'd rather do something fun and enjoyable.
But equally, when you've got that thing hanging over you, that's a task, whatever it is, when it's hanging over you, you can never really enjoy yourself as much as if you had it done.
You convince yourself.
Exactly. And really, just by putting it off, you're just putting off really the relief or the happiness that comes afterwards, and just getting it done, because it's going to have to happen anyway.
Yeah.
Getting it done sooner means you can be happy sooner and you can enjoy yourself sooner.
Excellent
as well.
Point. Yeah, I suppose procrastinating is prolonging that feeling and that dread and that, oh God, I've got to get it done. And so realistically, what you've got to ask yourself, the question is, you know, what is the job that I want to do? And what's the narrative that I'm telling myself that's putting me off doing that? Because once you know that narrative, you can put it right.
Asking the question is very important, because sometimes we make a decision to do something or we sign up for something and we, because we really want to do it, but then we procrastinate doing that thing that we've signed up for and we don't understand why. But in that interim, our needs may have changed and therefore we don't want to do it at all. Mm. So it's not a matter of putting it off. Sometimes it's like, I just don't want to do that anymore.
Yeah.
But we still procrastinate with it, as opposed to saying, look, I don't want to do that anymore. I'm just never going to do it, and then moving on.
But then equally, another cause of procrastination is because we say yes to too much stuff. So we're frightened of saying no. And so then people ask us to do something, or we're asked a favor, or can you do this? And you say yes in the moment with the greatest of intentions because you really want to help somebody. But the actual task itself doesn't excite you in any way, shape or form, or you literally have overcommitted and you just simply don't have the time to do it. And I think think that's, you know, a key. But once we do have that inner narrative of why we procrastinate, what is it that we're telling ourselves, as I said, then we can start to address it. So if that is, well, you know, I know that I should do that, but I don't really understand it, then you can go, right, okay. So if I don't understand it, I need to understand it. So whether that's asking somebody, whether that's going on YouTube, you know, whether that's finding somebody else who has done that task to ask them to show you, you literally got to ask yourself, what is it? And nip it in the bud. You know, because and again, the other thing is deadlines. You know, I know that both you, Liv and Hunter, and us probably to some degree, but you've had that piece of work that has to be done for uni or college or school, and you know it needs to be done, and it's hanging over you, you know, like Damocles' sword, and it's there, and you like put it off, and then you get to a point where you're backed into a corner, and it's like, holy crap, now it's got to be done.
Yeah, and I think everyone does that. You know, I think that's very, very normal. You know, we all do it, and I think that. I mean, I remember when I was in my first year of uni, that was me to a T, and I would leave my essays to the last minute and I would start them the night before, and I would be in that situation where I would have to stay up until it was done because it was due in by 9 a.m. And I think that, you know, in a way I was quite lucky because I actually broke my leg in the middle of my degree and had to take some time away.
Oh, that's a positive.
It was very lucky.
I broke my leg.
I was going to go to the next bit, which was a lucky bit, but what I was going to say, I mean, it's always positive, right? But the lucky thing about that, you know, at the time it didn't feel lucky, but the lucky thing about the fact that I did have to take some time out whilst my leg healed so that I can go back is in that time out, I sort of sat myself down and had a word with myself because I thought, I don't want to do this anymore. The stress that it's causing me. And we know it's going to cause ourselves stress. But like I said before, we prioritize how it feels right now because that feels better than thinking about your future self and doing something that doesn't feel great right now for the future, right? And I mean, it's the same when people sort of don't want to go to the gym. It's like, I don't want to go to the gym. I know I'm going to look better for it in the future, but right now it don't feel great, you know? So yeah. I get it. And I really sat myself down and thought, I don't want to do that anymore. I don't want to be in this position where I'm tearing my hair out and it's the night before and I'm so stressed. And I think that the reason why I really had that sort of drive to do that is that the three of the girls that were on my course doing psychology and neuroscience with me were all very, very organized. They were super organized. They did the essays the day they got them and they never felt stressed. And I saw them and was like, hang on a minute, they're all super like happy and loving life and, you know, going out the night before an essay was due because they'd done all their work. And I was there stressing out, drinking Red Bull, like in a bad place, sort of doing, you know, panicking. And I made the decision at that time that I didn't want to do that anymore. So I used that time when I wasn't there to really organize myself. And what I did, which I think is really helpful for people listening, is to create my own deadlines, right? So you're saying that when you've got a deadline, you will make it happen. Mm. So what's great is to create your own deadline. So for example, I remember genuinely sitting with one of the girls at uni and saying to her, right, what, how do you do this? Like, how do you, you know, structure yourself? And she said to me, okay, well, you know, I mean, I can't remember the exact thing, but it might be like, we've got one essay a week, one lab report a week, one whatever it was. And she'd go, okay, so I know we get an essay every Wednesday and that's due the following Wednesday. So I book out that Thursday to go, it's got to be done by the end of Thursday. Mm. And then I know it's done. And then, you know, my lab report, we get, and she literally went through it with me bit by bit. And I was like, right, fine, I'm going to do the same. And I got a diary and I literally wrote in there my deadlines for myself. Yeah. And it was like, I've got to have that essay done by Thursday. So when I got up on Thursday morning, I knew I had to have that done by the end of the day. So I'd be like, yeah, right, I need to go to the library. What do I need to do to get myself to go, right, I'm just going to write this. And I did.
And organisation is key, isn't it? That's what we're saying here. And, you know, that is organising it, planning it. I think that, you know, so that you're saying, I've got to do it. And a great, again, another great tip in that is to just the 10-minute rule. And the 10-minute rule is where, let's say, for example, that, you know, you want to clear your cupboards out, which is something that I'm going through at the moment. It would have been so easy.
Can I just say, that's a never-ending task, isn't it? You go, I'm going to clear my cupboard out. It never stops.
It never stops.
You start it and then you move on to another thing and then another thing. And by the time you've completed it, you're back to the first drawer. Yeah, it is a never-ending task. But,
the best thing is that we've all got the drawer. Oh, just God. With you
I've just
throw
mine.
Stuff in
I've just
right
done
and
mine.
It's got all sorts of stuff in there and tied in that drawer,
yeah,
and within a few days
well
it's
I
a mess
remember
again. And but then when you tidy it, you see stuff in there and you think, oh, I forgot I had that, and then a week later you go looking for it and it's not there, and then you realize you've thrown it away because you never needed it for ages.
I remember a birthday, someone in this family had a birthday and it wasn't me or Hunter. and Hunter coming into me.
Well, you're looking at me, aren't you?
No, it wasn't you actually either.
It could be.
And I remember Hunter running in going, oh my God, I haven't got Mum a present. I don't know what to do. And he decided to go look in that drawer and he pulled some items out of that drawer and gave them back to her. And he said his logic was, well, if she bought them in the first place, she obviously likes them.
That's
and
good
if
logic.
They're in that drawer, she'll have forgotten they're there. So yes. I was like, yeah, you know,
and I don't
did
ever.
Did he get away
he
with
must
it?
Have done
I don't remember doing it. So
I don't remember.
He was little.
Did
but
he get
clearly
away with
nobody's
it?
Remembered it in a negative
but what
way.
What a smart so. Thing to do, Hunter. I mean, that is a smart thing to do. But let me tell you about my 10-minute. My 10-minute.
Before you do, that. The organisation is really good because when you've got deadlines and you put it in your diary, then it doesn't feel, I assume it didn't feel as bad, did it?
No, it actually worked really well because, and I was so strict with myself with that. Like if I wanted to be like, oh, you know, I want to go and do this. And I'm like, no, I can do that tomorrow because today is the day that I have booked to do this. And I know that I basically really committed to that. I was like, I know that this is better for my mental health if I do this and I stick to this. And I did. And honestly, I cannot tell you the difference it made. It was massive.
I've noticed, Hunter, that you're very structured.
Well, I was going to say.
Certainly at uni.
Yeah, what I was going to say is that just notice the difference as well with what you just said, the difference that the people around you can make as well. I'm not sure how much this would apply in everyday life, but especially at university. Just, I had friends in my first semester who didn't really work that much, didn't really care as much, I guess, and just kind of just did things last minute and whatever. And then I got into the same habit and I was doing the same thing. And then as I shifted friend groups and found the people that I'm friends with now, we all work together, the set times a day and we all work, and suddenly I'm so much more productive and so much more organized as well because we all kind of work together. And just the point is, the people around you can really affect how.
But also, you know, as well. If you don't get it done, finally, you can't socialize.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But just the people around
you.
What
we do
as well,
become like the people we spend the most time with.
So that's true.
That's brilliant.
Because that's what impacted me. I saw they were not stressed and they were like getting everything done. And I'm thinking, and I remember thinking, how are you doing it? How are you finding the time? Because in my head, I didn't have the time, but I did have the time. I just wasn't structuring it properly.
That's so interesting, though, how we do make that narrative of, I just haven't got the time. Mm, how often do we say, I'm just stressed, I haven't got the time.
Yeah.
I remember getting to that point once in my life, and I got to the point that I looked for a procrastinator support group, and there are quite a few. But the problem was, whenever I booked on the meetings, they always cancelled them.
It just cut me off and interrupted for that.
Go on, Hunter.
Sorry. But I was going to say, even just beyond university life, we all know, I think we've all got people in our lives here who are like, oh, I've got so much to do. Oh, I've got this doing. And just like people who generally don't have much organisation in life, or it seems that way anyway, it just seems like they're just always overwhelmed. I feel like would potentially contribute to your feeling overwhelmed.
Absolutely.
Or would contribute to your kind of...
Yeah.
Although, that's true.
Not getting things done and just...
And then
you've
got those people... that go, no, don't go to the petrol station to get petrol now. Leave it till tomorrow. And they encourage that slovenly behaviour.
Who did that?
An ex-bateman.
Was that a while ago?
It was only yesterday.
I know.
It happened yesterday evening.
But I was saving you a job.
But
this morning she was stressed.
But the reason that I don't procrastinate, and I don't, and have I in my life, yes, but I do not procrastinate. And the reason that I don't procrastinate is because I have tasks. I give myself, we call it the Speakman Success 7, but I literally have small tasks, not loads, because that in itself can overwhelm you. But the Speakman Success 7 is based on, I'm going to do 3 things today. 1, 2, 3. 4, 5, 6 could wait. But it'd be nice if I got any of those done. And 7 can wait till the day after. And I am so organized and structured and I enjoy that. That isn't something that I feel is imposed. I impose myself these times. I make them small pockets of tasks that I'd like to do. And my 10-minute rule, which I mentioned earlier, is part of that. Because my 10-minute rule is, I want to clear that cupboard out.
So I was going to say, you were talking about your cupboard clearing. We got well sidetracked. So go back to your cupboard clearing, the never-ending task.
Just say clubbered?
I did say clubbered.
Anyway, your cupboard clearing. Go on.
I did say
what were you saying?
I couldn't let that go. It was too good.
I did. I said clobbered, but I actually should have said cupboard. But yeah, my part of my 10-minute, the 10-minute rule is that I said to myself, okay, look, I want to clear that cupboard out. So I don't have to do it all. I'll just do 10 minutes. And I put myself a podcast on, or I put some music on. I take my bin liners. I go into that cupboard. And honestly, it is so rare that I only do 10 minutes because I want to do longer. Now, if I do 10 minutes, I've achieved my task. But if I want to carry on, then I do. So the 10-minute rule is something that I would literally, you know, why do we not want to do these tasks? Because we catastrophize them. We make them sound so much more. Just do 10 minutes.
I think that's such a huge thing because we do. We always, you know, whenever you do something you've been putting off, when you do it, you always say, don't you? Oh, actually, it wasn't that bad.
Yeah.
But in our head, we make this massive drama of it and how big it's going to be. And actually, research studies show that that prevents us from doing things because, you know, it's like if you think you've got a massive obstacle ahead of you, why do you want to face that? You don't. But if you can actually break that down and say, right, okay, you know, I'm just going to do 10 minutes on that and then that's it. Really, doing 10 minutes on something doesn't seem like something to put off. And often you do end up getting into it and you do end up doing more. But if you don't, then that's fine. You've done 10 minutes. So you no longer feel bad. And therefore, as a result of not feeling bad, you don't procrastinate, you know,
absolutely,
because it actually encourages you to keep going with things and motivate you more.
Yeah. The hardest part is starting as well, because a lot of times you don't know where to start, you don't know how to start, and just those 10 minutes, normally you can find where you want to start and get moving on things.
And then
once you have that rhythm, it's
that 10 minutes can be used just to plan how you will start.
And I think as well, just with the Success 7 and 10 minutes as well, just finding some time in the day, when you plan your day, just give yourself an hour to start working on that as well and allot that time. And especially for me at uni, my day is kind of a structure where I have classes until 4 or 5 p.m. I have 30 minutes to an hour off, get dinner.
Nap.
And nap. And actually, the napping comes before during the break time, before the dinner, and then work. And it's like I have the set time for work, so I know that I will get it done during that time. It's the same kind of thing. If you don't find the time to do it or set time aside to do it, it's so much easier to put off and go,
absolutely,
oh, I've got this to do instead. I'll try and find an excuse for it.
And I think Hunter's hit a really good point there, which is when I said before about I set myself deadlines, and what you were saying with like your to-do list and your Success 7, which I was just going to say to you, you'll explain that more in a minute, because I just don't think you fully like explained to people how that Success 7 works.
Yep.
But when you actually do look at setting yourself deadlines and scheduling yourself, don't make it difficult, right? Make it as easy as it possibly can be, because like I said, a big reason why we procrastinate is because we make it worse in our head than it actually is. So like what Hunter's saying there, if you work, if you've got a schedule, pick the easiest time. So, you know, don't be unrealistic and think that you can book something in for a time when you're really busy, because then you're probably going to go, oh, I just can't do it. So look at your schedule, go, right, I want to do this. This is something I've got to fit in. When is the absolute easiest time that I can put that in? And then make that schedule, create your own deadline, schedule that in, and you're giving yourself the least obstacles possible to face. So like Hunter said, knowing his structure, how could he plan things in that structure that would work best and easiest so that then he's set his own deadlines that the easiest for him, starting off with little small sections and just doing 10 minutes here and there, and already it feels like so much less of a mammoth task.
Yeah, but I go to bed, genuinely, I go to bed and just think, right, what's my three priority things on the Speakman 7?
So Success 7.
The Speakman Success 7, it was something that we'd started a long, long time ago, wasn't it? Is literally you get a piece of paper and you write numbers 1 through 7. And it's literally, you can do it the evening before, and it's nice to actually write it down, because when you write it down and you do that tick, I'm sure Liv will confirm that research now shows that when we have a to-do list and we tick something off, we get a boost of feel-good hormones, which in itself not only makes you feel good in the moment, but also then encourages you to carry on with that to-do list. However, the Speakman Success 7 is a piece of paper, numbers 1 through 7. Numbers 1, 2, and 3 are things that you are going to complete the next day, or at least start. At least do that 10-minute rule on. And then numbers 4 and 5, sorry, I think I said 4, 5, 6, but it's actually 4 and 5, are things that you would like to get through the following day, if at all possible, but it's not the end of the world if you don't. And then number 6 and 7 can wait till the day after, as in, you know, not the following day, but the day after that even. And having that is just such a great structure. Like I say, I have a structure. I know what I want to complete in the day. And I don't make it colossal or mammoth, just three main things that I want to get through the following day. It gives you such a great feeling of satisfaction. And three things, using the 10-minute rule if need be, it just makes it so possible, and it stops you kind of like putting it off.
And I think as well, you said you could do that just before you go to bed. Another yes. alternative to that that I also like is if you work from an office, do that right before you leave the office, because what that allows you then is the freedom to go home and leave work at yes. work, you know, because
yeah.
we do often take work home and then yeah. think, oh God, I've got to do that tomorrow. Oh, I've got to do that tomorrow. Whereas if you write that just before you leave the office, spend literally just a couple minutes mm. putting that together, yeah. right? Whilst you're fresh in work headspace, what do I need to do tomorrow? What's my priority tasks? Write that 7 down, go, right, that's everything. Go home. Turn off, enjoy your evening. And then when you come back in the morning, you've got your list ready to go.
I think a lot of people I've spoken to over the years, one thing that really stand out where people procrastinate is from ambiguous instruction. And what that is when, say at work, your boss says, I really want you to do this. I need you to do this presentation. This is what I want. And they're ambiguous and they don't describe it well enough. That also can create that feeling of procrastination, because you actually don't know what the hell you're doing.
Do you think that as well comes from the reason we procrastinate being like those tasks that we think are going to be like really hard work? So if we feel incapable of doing it, even more so we're going to procrastinate, because we think, well, I don't even know what I'm doing anywhere. I don't even know where to start.
Exactly.
I think that's the key thing.
I don't think
you don't know where to start
job.
Because yeah. most things, once you actually start, you're okay.
Which is what Hunter was saying. Even if you just spent 10 minutes at the start thinking, how am I going to go about this?
Then
the next day you'd be able to go into it and feel fine. Is that what we make up in our heads, isn't it?
But if you don't understand the instructions, then you don't know where to start on that job. And, you know, and again, so a good way to counter that is to ask for complete clarification. Mm-hmm. And I think sometimes we don't do that because we feel that, oh, maybe we should understand it and we're idiots for asking again.
Absolutely. Right?
It doesn't mean anything that at all, because if you don't understand something, you don't understand
but
something.
It
might be not explained properly.
But if you deliver it, I really want to make a good job of this, so can you explain that to me again? I just want to make sure I've definitely got it. I think that in itself would make that easier.
But also it shows by doing it that way, it shows that you care, that you want to do the job properly. But yeah, that is one thing. But I think the most common thing is just making something far bigger than what it is.
Mm.
And it's funny because when I think about it, so we all, in our head, we make it such a mammoth task. And then once we start, it's never anything like that. The one thing that always springs to mind is that statement. And it just makes sense to me, but I'm sure you've heard it, where the best way to eat an elephant is one bite at a time.
Never heard that ever in my life, kids.
No.
Did you just make that up?
No, it's true. No, I mean, it's a statement.
I'd be very interested if any of our listeners.
The only way to eat an elephant.
No, the best way.
But isn't it the only way?
Well, it is, obviously.
Because, and also, who's eating elephants?
There's several things with that. And that statement's been accredited to a lot of people, mainly Desmond Tutu, but a lot of people over the years. We can Google it if you want.
Can I just ask though, is there any animal in the animal kingdom that eats elephants?
I don't think
so. No, there isn't. But why would you? Why? But the analogy is, it's the biggest thing on earth, right? On land, should
it's
I say.
Actually, I was going to, well,
yeah, no.
I'm glad you put that in there because I was about to correct you.
Whales.
I was.
It's the biggest thing on land. So it's like, it's making a mammoth task. So that's the analogy. And you eat it one bite at a time, but no one's eating elephants, are they?
No.
I mean, come on.
Unfortunately, you are right.
Is
yeah,
it?
Actually,
is he right? Come on, Hunter, what does
Hunter
it say?
Just Googled.
No, just like it is Desmond Tutu.
Wow,
yeah.
How do you know
he said
that?
There is only one way to eat an elephant, a bite at a time.
Well, I never.
I mean, it's an interesting analogy. I get the point.
Just
it's like
a bit of annoyed if anyone
so even the impossible can be accomplished gradually by taking on just a little at a time.
I feel like he, in the moment, was like, oh, I need an analogy. And it's just like something he came out with without thinking too much.
The concept behind it was the message behind the message we get, but the actual
analogy wasn't the best.
No one's going to go, oh, what are you hungry? Yeah, I am. What should we have? Let's have an elephant.
Is there any animal in the animal kingdom that eats elephants?
I don't think so.
I don't know.
Can you Google that?
I think a pack of lions
maybe
could take down a baby elephant.
Yeah, but
maybe.
Oh, that makes me really sad.
Yeah, it makes me sad.
But it's like hippos.
Let's move on.
Yeah, but hippos and elephants, like they're like no one like.
It does say lions, hyenas, and crocodiles may attempt to prey on young or sick elephants.
Yeah.
Ah. Let's move on.
It says they have few predators to worry about, so
that's good.
Now let's move on.
Anyway, I'm going to give you another.
If there's any elephants listening, you've got few predators to worry about.
So another thing that I think contributes to procrastinating is your environment. And what I don't mean, kind of, you know, like the people that you're hanging around with in this example. What I'm actually meaning is, so, and I say this a lot, don't I? Where I'll go, you know, if you have a messy home, messy car, messy workspace, you have a messy mind, in that it makes you feel kind of out of control, that you've not got any structure. And so that in the list of things to help procrastination is a great way to go. So I know that with Liv and Hunter, both of you, when you were kids, specifically remember Hunter.
I remember you when I was feeling really overwhelmed. I'd been revising for a while. I think I did my GCSEs. I was coming to my A-levels, and I'd just been at the same desk working constantly. And I told you that I was feeling like I just kept procrastinating. I felt really overwhelmed. And I just felt like I didn't know what to do. And you rearranged my room and moved my desk and just moved all around. And suddenly it was just weirdly so much different in a way that I never expected.
I remember
saying to you, what's the point?
Yeah.
Could you? I don't know.
There's not many times you impressed me, but that's up there on the list.
Thanks, but I do remember that. But I also...
Kelly Hoppen.
Yeah. No, I changed the study room around. I moved all the furniture around, put some smellies in there, you know, some smelly reeds.
Does that help?
As in not stinky reeds. Sweet smelling, nice reeds. Changed the room completely around, put some lights in, put extra lights in. I changed the whole ambiance of the room, and your state of mind completely changed. And that also goes with clutter. And I know that with your room once at Oxford, I don't know if you remember this. I remember coming to Oxford and you were quite overwhelmed. You were working really hard, so your room was a little bit untidy. And I'm being nice there. It was pretty messy.
No, but it wasn't messy with anything other than notes. It was literally papers and notes. I just helped
to get you into some sort of tidied up for you, got you into some sort of structure, and it helped. And it really does. And again, just that thought, oh my God, tidying up seems so overwhelming. 10-minute rule. That's all. Just do 10 minutes and you'll be amazed.
Well, Hunter said there, which is really important, is the fact that we, as human beings, we associate our emotions with certain places. So, you know, it's the reason why we can go to somewhere that's always made us feel good, like an enjoyable place, and we feel good just even going there because we associate all these good feelings with it. But that can also work in a negative sense, which is, you know, if he was in his study room and he's just getting himself really worked up and anxious and emotional because he's revising and he's just burnt himself out, he's going to associate all those feelings with that room. So as soon as he goes back into that same setup, he's going to feel all those emotions again. So just by starting afresh gives you a fresh headspace and feeling like you can retackle, regroup, and come back to it, you know?
I'm going to throw something else out there to add to your 10-minute rule. I would like to claim it as my own, but something I've heard a few times. The 5-minute rule. Oh. If something takes you 5 minutes or less, just do it now.
Do you know what I was thinking of? I thought you meant the 5-second rule, which is like if you drop a snack on the floor, within 5 seconds, you can pick it back up and eat it. Yeah. But that's not what you meant.
I would eat the snack after more than 5 seconds. It's all dependent on the floor.
And the snack. Oh, like, it depends what the snack is.
If it's a sticky snack.
Exactly. Like if you dropped a lollipop on a carpet, you're not going to pick it back up.
No, I'm picking that up full of bears.
Well, you could just lick the one half that's not hairy, I guess.
Well, it depends the shape of the lollipop, doesn't it? If it's like a round lollipop, it might have like rolled in there.
So sticky was saying no. I mean, I don't even think after 5 seconds I'm eating the lolly if it's hairy.
No. I don't know. I wonder, is there some science behind that? Do we know, like, the 5-second rule? Is it just someone's made it up?
But you're absolutely right. If it's only going to take 5 minutes, then why not do it?
There's a lot of smaller jobs, especially like cleaning. Say if your room gets untidy, whatever. It's often things that are built up over time. If it takes 5 minutes, just do it, and then that won't happen.
Or just do 5 minutes of it, like Mum said, and then carry on later. Yeah. But you feel more motivated towards working at it then.
But
no, you're right. It's a good point.
Let's move on to the big topic here with procrastination. And the big topic with procrastination is when we're struggling with our mental health. Because when we're struggling with our mental health, we feel already that there is so much going on in our lives that, like you say, we get that makes us feel very overwhelmed.
And I think we put a lot of pressure on ourselves, because I think that perfectionism is another real problem with procrastination. Because, you know, one thing that we've identified in this episode so far is the fact that the bigger you feel that task is, the more difficult you feel it is, the more incapable you feel, the more out of your depth you feel with it, then the harder it is to get yourself to start it. And if you feel that you've got to reach perfection, you know, if you've been brought up to believe that you've always got to do things to an absolute perfect level, then you're always going to feel like that that's a huge task, because suddenly then, you know, you've got to get it right, and you know your best isn't good enough, and you know, like Dad said before, you might feel completely like out of your depth and that you can't get it to that perfect level. So, you know, let's cut the perfectionism, because that in itself can make you feel there's no point in even starting something if you can't get it perfect.
And there is no such thing as perfect.
There absolutely isn't. But I think, you know, you can only ever do your best. So get it going, do your best. And if it's not perfect, then you did your best. It doesn't matter.
And perfectionism can lead to fear of failure, because if you feel you can't be perfect, then, you know, you feel like you're going to fail. So what's the point in starting? And again, which can lead to procrastination.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, yeah. And I think that, you know, we lose sight of the fact that even if something's not perfect, if we make a step towards it, it's better than had we not made any step.
I was just going to say that.
And Nick, perfect by whose standards, of course.
But you'll know who said this, because I never...
Was it Desmond Tutu?
It wasn't Desmond Tutu. I was going to give a caveat with that statement. It's definitely not Desmond Tutu. It's some kind of like life coachy type of American person who said, you don't have to get it right, you just have to get it going.
Jim Rohn?
Was it?
Yeah.
He was,
You don't have to get it right, you've just got to get it
right. And that is a mantra, actually, that I often have had in my head.
I think that comes into as well when people are trying to lose weight and they feel like they've got to get to like a perfect size and it's like that or nothing. And it's like, actually, no, every little bit you're doing is helping, right?
Absolutely.
And I think we do put so much pressure on ourselves to reach like a perfect goal and to do something absolutely perfectly. And I think that that in itself is going to put you off. Like, just like you said, just get it going.
Yeah, that's it. And in regards to your mental health, you know, then change things around, do something, obviously therapy if there's things, you know, there's an abundance of things in your life that have been holding you down, you know, talking about issues is like a pressure cooker letting off steam, but also doing things, little things for you, whether that be literally just going out, getting a little bit of fresh air, connecting with nature, 5 minutes of mindfulness, bit of meditation, yoga, a good bit of music. I mean, literally, music can have such an impact. I have a playlist on my phone, which is all stuff that just makes me feel good. So having a good music list can also help.
The music list is really good for motivation, isn't it? And so is procrastination the lack of motivation?
I would say so. But the question is, so let's just look at, you know, the causes of
why are you lacking motivation?
Why are you lacking motivation? Yeah. So it's because it's boring. So if it's boring, make it more exciting, whether that, if you can do it with somebody else, or give yourself a treat at the end of it. So once I've done that, this is what I'm going to do, so that it gives you something to work towards.
Questions are always a good thing in that situation. So if there's something that you're putting off, asking yourself the question, what would have to happen for me to finish this and enjoy it and enjoy the process? Because quite often we feel that we're not going to enjoy it. So what would have to happen for me to enjoy it? And the answer to that might be just get it finished, right? Just get it out of the way, right? And then you can start enjoying it, which is what Hunter said before. You can, but asking yourself the question, what would have to happen for me to enjoy this and finish it?
I think another thing as well is that what makes a task seem more tedious and sort of bigger than it is when we feel we have to do it and we don't want to, but we have to. So I've got to do this essay by morning and, you know, I just don't want to do it, but I've got to do it. So, or work task, whatever it might be. If we feel we have to do something, we naturally resist it, right? Unless it's something we really want to do, which usually if we have to do it, it's not because we want to do it, right?
So what would you suggest, Liv?
Reframing that, right? So reframing that. So rather than thinking, okay, you know, so let's use my example, the essay. I have to do this essay for so-and-so because, you know, it's part of my course, for my uni. I could instead have looked at that and gone, you know, once I've completed this, you know, I'm working towards getting my degree, which is why I've come
and
here
anyway.
And
that's my got and get.
It is and it isn't. So I had two kind of prongs to this. Oh. So one is your got and get, and which we'll come to in 1 second. And the other is just looking at why you're doing, like, what's the benefit of this? What is the good in you doing this? So I really don't want to clean this drawer out, but I'm going to feel so good when I've cleaned this drawer. Like, how are you going to feel? How is it going to make your life better when you've cleaned that drawer?
Can I ask a question? Sorry, I'm just going to ask this question and then I'll just come over to you. But how many times do you clean a drawer out? This is me, right? Okay, so I clean a drawer out. I have just been, that's just recently happened. I clean it out and then I keep going back to it, opening it, admiring it, closing it, get a feel of, yes, I did it.
then using that as motivation to clean another.
I love it. Sorry, Hunter, what were you going
to say? Just to say, just contextualise it. Look at the bigger picture, basically. I'm trying to answer what you're saying.
No, it is.
I'm saying, because not just even a specific thing, just look at the whole picture in itself and being like, why have I even got to this in the first place? Because I've got a house, because I'm at uni, because I got into university.
Or, you know, it's for work and I'm getting paid to do this. Yeah. Like, you know, I'd rather not do it, but I'm actually getting paid for it. So it's just focusing on the benefit to you of this situation and why you've got to do that, rather than focusing on being made to do this. Yeah. Because I think there's always some benefit and some good thing we can find in it. So shifting your focus as to how that's a good thing, which then comes into what you always say about got to and get to, which is reframing your terminology. So rather than saying I've got to whatever, change it to I get to. So do you want to give some examples?
Yeah, I instead of saying I've got to go to work, I get to go to work because I have a job. And instead of saying I've got to do this work task, I get to do it because that means that I'm going to get a salary at the end of it. And instead of saying I've got to do the laundry, I get to do the laundry because I've got clothes to wear. So,
and a lovely family to
and a lovely family
clean
to,
clothes for.
And on that note, I've got to say that Hunter opened his socks this morning and his clean socks.
He unfolded his socks. Can we just rewind?
The aroma was beautiful.
It was in the car driving here.
Yes.
Right. So Hunter has this habit of he will have his socks and then he'll walk to the car in his shoes.
Not anymore. That was only because I woke up late today.
All right.
And you were rushing me.
Woke up late. You overslept.
Yes.
Yeah.
Also, why are we complaining? I treated you to a nice smell.
Yeah, so he's in the car with no socks on, and then he opened his socks and we were treated to this
beautiful
laundry smell.
I have a thing about the smell of laundry. I do. And the smell of that laundry, I cannot tell you how happy that made me.
Yeah,
and that
made me realize. Prior to that, we had a smell of baby's nappies.
We did. I don't know why, but that wasn't any of us. But that just is a great example of when I'm doing that laundry, I've got to do the laundry. I get to smell the fresh smell of fabric conditioner.
So you're
going to
think about Hunter's socks in the future when you complain about
that. I love the smell of laundry. I mean, if I'm hugging you, I am having a sneaky sniff because I am very fancy. I do like the smell of laundry powder, perfume, but laundry powder, conditioner.
I think they do like a Yankee candle, don't they? Like, they do. They do baby powder, but I think they do some like cotton or something.
Yeah,
like
they do baby powder, which is a nice one, but they also do something like linen. Fresh linen. Anyway, sorry.
You were saying got to get and saying, you know, I get to do this because I've got a job. Right now, some people go, I wish I didn't have a job. You know, I don't want a job. So you've got to look at maybe taking it a step further, saying, you know, I have a job because that gives me the lifestyle that I want. It allows me to buy these things because ultimately, everything that we do, we're in search of a feeling.
Yes.
Right? We want to feel better. Right? So you might need to take that thought process back to the point is, well, this is going to make me feel better and this is what it is. And that's what you're in search of.
So
finding that.
Let's start to put our tips into our handbook to happiness on our metaphorical handbook to happiness on the page about let's stop procrastinating. Let's get excited.
Yes.
Let's get some structure. Hunter, what would you like to share? Do you have some tips?
Just everything I've already said, obviously, but also do things earlier in the day. I find it's something that I'm really procrastinating, I really don't want to do. If I say, okay, I'm going to do it tomorrow morning, the first thing I do when I wake up, I'm so much more likely to do it. I feel like I can just get out of the way and it's just like I tackle it so much easier. And it's almost like I'm not during the day. Then if I do it towards the end of the day, I'm thinking about, oh, I don't want to do this. And I'm thinking of all the reasons why I don't want to do it. Whereas if I wake up and do it in the morning, I just get it done so much easier.
I think that's really interesting because from a bit of a science point of view, when we wake up in the morning, we have our highest amount of brain energy, right? Like we burn energy, our brain burns energy throughout the day. So when you first wake up in the morning, you sort of like, you know, your battery's recharged and you've got loads of energy. So whatever we focus on first thing in the morning, we tend to do best. Like the first thing we do in the day, because we use the most energy on that. Whereas by the end of the day, we're on a low battery. And so then, you know, we were saying about the bigger the task seems, the more you'll procrastinate. If you're looking at it with a low battery thinking, I've now got to do that, then you're going to feel, it's going to feel such a huge task. So you're absolutely spot on. If you go, right, I'm going to do that first thing when I've got my full brain energy, it's, you're making it as easy for yourself as possible to do it. So I think that's such a good point. Mm. But yeah, in terms of my point, I think that breaking it down, making it seem less big, right? Because the bigger it seems, the more we're going to procrastinate, the harder it seems, the more incapable we feel, all these things add to procrastination. So I think breaking it down, for example, when I used to work, one thing I would do is say, I'd do, right, I'm going to do an hour or 30 minutes on my revision, and then I'm going to stop and make myself take a break for 5-10 minutes and go for a walk or do something. And doing that, breaking it down into smaller sections, and you think, well, I've only got to do an hour, I've only got to do half an hour. So I think, you know, you mentioned the 10-minute rule. I think breaking things down, so you're literally chipping away at it rather than thinking you've got to complete it all right now.
One bite at a time. Yeah.
Hunter tried to trump me with a 5-minute rule.
He did.
But the five-minute rule is different to
a 10-minute rule.
No, I know.
Whatever works for you. And I think that's the thing. You've got to know yourself, know when you work best, know your structure and schedule. Give yourself your own deadline. Schedule yourself when work's easy. Make this as easy as possible. That's what I'm trying to say here. Mm-hmm. Make it as easy as possible. Do it when you're most fresh. Do it in a place where, you know, whatever you need to do, get it done in a location where you feel most motivated. That might be going to a coffee shop. That might be sitting in a library. It might be in your room, whatever it is. And I know sometimes you can't choose a location of jobs you have to do, you know, if you're in an office. But do whatever you need to do to feel the most motivated. It might be listening to some music on your way into work. It might be having a coffee in the morning, whatever. But make it as easy for you as possible, because the easier it seems and the more grateful we are for the outcome I either got to get to, the more likely you are to get going with it.
And surround yourself with people as well that are hard workers or can just help you with that on the whole as well.
Good point. Yeah, definitely. The people around you definitely have an impact. Nick, do you have anything to add?
Yeah, I do. Just remember why you started it in the first place. Remember why you agreed to do it in the first place. Don't lose sight of that. And then also ask yourself the question, what could I do to enjoy this? What can I do to make it, to complete it more quickly? Mm. Ask yourself those questions, and that will make a difference. But also, Eva, just for you, as you were saying that you, and it's quite disturbing a little bit that you have a sneaky sniff when you give us a hug. I've just got to think about, because when we're talking about elephants as well, what do you call an elephant that doesn't have a bath?
I don't know.
A smellyphant. No, I thought you'd appreciate that.
Oh, yes, like you wouldn't believe.
You were so welcome. And whilst we're talking about elephants, you know, what do you do if an elephant sat on your fence?
I don't know.
Get a new fence. Okay, what have you got to add?
Okay, apologies.
Can we wrap this up now? I feel bad.
Poor listeners, hearing all those kind of jokes.
Don't listen to enjoy after this.
I think he should do his own podcast for jokes, so he can leave it over there. Yes. People that want to listen.
But the big thing about procrastination in any given situation is you're making the situation bigger than it is.
Absolutely.
And the biggest thing on land is an elephant, and that's the analogy.
Thank you.
But break it down. That's what you're trying to say. Make it as small as possible.
Yeah. So my final little tips are, we've already mentioned it, but listen, it doesn't have to be perfect. You know, you can work on things and make them better and better and better. So like, just get it started. Maybe have yourself an affirmation in that I don't have to finish it. I'll just get it started. The 10-minute rule is one of my favorites. Our Speakman Success 7, you know, have your top 3 things that you are going to achieve the next day. You don't need to go beyond that. But having some structure is really, really helpful. Again, clutter can really hold you back. So be aware of that. If there's something you don't quite understand, ask somebody for some guidance or direction. And I think the really big thing is, if you've got a task that you feel there is not that much pleasure in, then reward yourself. Give yourself a little treat. You know, it doesn't have to be anything massive. One of my things is just, I'll make myself an oat milk latte, for example. You know, something that I really enjoy. And I just think, right, I'm going to do this first and then I'm going to have that lovely latte. So have something to help you sort of through that. So don't procrastinate. Do be sure, do it right now and then it's done. It's done. It'll be like, and you'll feel so good about it. And all that is just like, follow, subscribe, give us a 5-star review. We really would appreciate it. We hope that you are, you know, teasing apart. We hope you're enjoying our podcast and that our procrastination tips today have given you a bit of get up and go so that you can start to tick those things on your to-do list so that you feel happier and more fulfilled and more accomplished in your life. Thank you so very much for listening. We really do appreciate it. Thanks so much for joining us. Wherever you're listening to this podcast today, do be sure to like, follow, subscribe, and we'd be incredibly grateful of a 5-star review.
Oh, and don't forget to recommend our podcast to your family and friends.
And if you'd like to have a look at some more free resources, take a look at our website, nickandeva.com.
If you want to drop us a question, we'd love to hear from you. Send it to admin@speakman.tv.
And you can follow us. We're at The Speakmans on all social media platforms. On YouTube, we're Handbook to Happiness Pod. If you are struggling, do be sure to speak to your general practitioner. And all that's left to say is that we appreciate you spending time with us today.